Good morning. Glad you all made it out this morning. I'll take a little warmer weather, won't you? We can live with that. Before I get into the sermon this morning, I want to personally invite you to our home tonight from 6 to 8. And if you're wondering how we're going to get everybody in the house, don't worry about it. We'll shuffle you in and shuffle you out. But there will be food, so don't eat a lot of what? 6 to 8. 4 to 6 is, what's 4 to 6? Something is. Yeah, candlelight service. And I want to invite you to that, too, candlelight service. I'm going to try to sing something with Macy. I've never sang anything with her, so we invite you to that. But anyway, we'll have food, so don't be eating Bob's Pizza before you come over there, because we'll have something neat for you there, especially if you like soup. It's our way of saying thanks for all that you guys do. And we don't thank each other enough, do we? We need to do that more often. That's our way of saying thanks for having us here. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to focus on one verse today, at least from this chapter, and that is verse 15. And as you're turning, let me ask you, you got your Christmas all done? Christmas shopping? How many of you not got all your Christmas shopping besides Sherry? Besides Bill and Linda? Okay. Hallelujah, we have a Walmart right down the road, right? I hope you got all your Christmas lights put up because you're not going to find any more. We found that out. We had some of our Christmas this past Friday and Saturday in Indianapolis. Got to spend time with in-laws. But we had part of our Christmas there. We're going to have some more at our house on the 25th. My wife, she's hard to buy for. And I'll ask her, I said, what do you want? She won't tell me. So we were in Kirkland's yesterday, and she found something she liked. I said, hey, that could be your Christmas present. She goes, yeah. I said, okay, get it. Well, it wasn't wrapped, but I'll tell you what. If I could find something she likes, I'm doing something good. I got to tell you, as I get older, it gets harder and harder. What's my wife want? What does she need? What's my kids want? What do they need? And does anybody else find it hard? I find it harder and harder as I get older and older. I was reading about a 90-year-old grandmother who one Christmas found buying gifts a bit overwhelming. So she decided she'd just write out checks and mail them with her Christmas card to her loved ones so they could buy whatever they wanted. So she proceeded to do just that. She wrote out the checks for her loved ones. And on each Christmas card, she wrote these words, buy your own Christmas gift this year. And then she put the Christmas cards in the mailbox. After all the Christmas festivities were over, she found all the checks that she had written laying in the desk drawer. So she had forgotten to put the checks in the Christmas cards, so when they opened up their Christmas card, the Christmas card simply read, buy your own Christmas present this year. Talk about getting in trouble. Now you guys don't ever do anything like that, I know. But I'll tell you, I'm getting there. But you got to admit it. It gets harder and harder each year to buy that perfect gift for that wife or spouse or that son or that daughter or grandson or granddaughter. It gets harder. It really does. I heard just this week that one mother charged her credit card $16,000 just to buy her kids the right product. I say Game Boy, PlayStation. I'm not into all that stuff. So whatever it is, she spent $16,000. Now, there's a difference between buying a gift and being completely stupid. Amen? I won't say any more. As we come to our text this morning, I hope you're there. 2 Corinthians 9:15. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he writes eight simple words. Well, one of them is not so simple. But listen, it says, thanks be to God for His what? Indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for His indescribable. Now, it's out of the NIV translation. The King James, the American Standard Version, renders this, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And for you people that like the English Standard Version, which I do also, it says, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. All four translations are accurate. They're all fine. Because he's talking about a big word here. Indescribable. What's that mean? Indescribable. Many ministers have rendered this passage of Scripture, they think it pertains to tithing or giving a monetary gift in the form of an offering. Now, Paul already talks about in chapter 9 that monetary gift. But here he's talking about what? He's talking about Christ. He's talking about not only the baby born in the manger, he's talking about the guy that died on the cross. And I want you to know, I don't care how brilliant you are, you cannot put into words what God did for you on the cross. It's indescribable. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. And you can rack your brain trying to find the best gift for your kids and your grandkids, but I want you to remember this. The best gift you can give them is Jesus Christ. And if your kids and your grandkids don't know Jesus Christ, they don't know anything. Because He is the greatest. He is the best. And what He did for you on the cross over 2,000 years ago, you can try to write it down on paper. You can try to describe it to a friend, but I want you to know it's indescribable. It's a bit overwhelming trying to buy the right gift, but I already have it. If you're a Christian, you already have it. If your kids and your grandkids, if they're already Christians, they already have it. You know what I think parents and grandparents ought to do every Christmas? Pray for the kids. Because someday you're not going to be here. Someday you're going to be dead and gone waiting for Jesus to come back. But your kids and your grandkids, they got to take on the world. And I'll tell you what, without Jesus Christ, they're going to have big problems. The best gift you can give your kids or grandkids is Jesus Christ. There's something else about these eight words described here in 2 Corinthians 9:15. It's the only place in the Bible you'll find it. Write that off the side of your Bible. It's the only place in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, you'll ever find it's only right here. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Indescribable. That's how important it is. You know, I've received some pretty nice gifts in my lifetime. And I thank you guys for the love offering. That was a great gift. Amen? Great gift. My dad gave us a motorcycle for Christmas one time. Man, we was looking under the tree, no presents. We were depressed. We were mad. We were angry with our parents. There was no gift underneath the tree. And then at Christmas time, he said, walked out to the garage, opened the door, and there it was, a brand new 1971 CL70 motorcycle. Now, you got to remember, I'm 6 years old. How am I going to ride a CL70 Honda? My sister was only 8 years old. She wouldn't even try it. Oh, but I would. Well, how did you ride a CL70? It sits up pretty high, if you remember. How'd you ride that when you're only 6 years old? I improvised. So here's the deal. This is what I did. The bike was there, kickstand down. I jumped on it, turned the key, kicked it. It fired. I leaned it to the left, kicked up the kickstand, and away I went. Well, that was the easy part. Well, how do you land the thing? How do you stop? And I got really good at this because I practiced. I fell over a few times, but I practiced. And I would get to a place where the ground was solid, and I'd kick that kickstand out. I hit the brakes, and it stopped right there, and I'd jump right off. And my sister, she's sitting there in awe thinking, how'd you do that? Practice, lots of pain and bruises, but I did it. Greatest present, one of the greatest presents I ever received in my life. Now, when it's a little muddy outside, going to fall over on you. Going to have a few bumps and bruises there. But that's a true story. I'm telling you the truth. I started riding a bike when I was actually five. I rode a mini bike, and then we advanced to this 70 motorcycle because Daddy bought it, got to ride it, right? And we did. I want you to know that I can describe that bike. It was candy apple red, beautiful. Can I say the word awesome? Now, I used to get in trouble at Buck Creek because I'd say awesome, and Nancy Whistler, she might be listening today, she'd say, don't you say the word awesome unless it pertains to Christ. Okay, Nancy, I'm sorry. Well, Nancy, that motorcycle was awesome. It was. I can describe that bike to you. I can describe you what it looks like. I can describe you what it feels like to pull the throttle back and just to fly down the road, which I did a lot, still do. It was awesome. But when it comes to Christ, awesome isn't enough. It's not enough. Let's take it a little step further. Let's call it, everybody say it, indescribable. Indescribable. That's what he did for us. Christ's love for us, his sacrifice for us, and the fact that he was born in a manger, it's all indescribable. We cannot realize how he came down from heaven, had glory under his feet, came down to heaven to be born of a virgin, to live this life like we live, to be tempted in every way, shape, or form, yet did not sin, and still he still went to the cross. Because why? Because he wanted to? No. Because he loved you that much. And he knew what an animal sacrifice could not do, he would have to do in the form of his own body. He was the ultimate sacrificial lamb, and what he did for you was indescribable. Now, before we close this morning, I want to give you three things to remember this Christmas as we think about Christ's indescribable gift. Number one, first of all, this indescribable gift is undeserved. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long that you've been coming here to church. I don't care how many times you take communion. I don't care how many sermons you've listened to. I don't care what kind of merits, gifts, awards, trophies you've received. I want you to know that you're not good enough. I'm not good enough. No matter what you do, what you become, what you can accomplish, I want you to know that you're still not good enough. Everybody say, I'm not good enough. Say it. You're not. And I'm not either. We're not good enough. What Jesus did for us over 2,000 years ago was completely undeserved. You think as you get older, you're supposed to get more faithful, right? Well, we are. We're supposed to grow up in our faith. Paul basically says, stop sipping the milk, start eating the meat. A lot of times we slide backwards. And as we get older, we get downhearted, depressed. It's not what Christ wants for you. He wants you to grow up in your salvation. Realize that the greatest gift you'll ever receive is not in the form of a person, not in the form of an award, it's in the form of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this, if you don't hear anything else, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have everything. It doesn't matter what someone else does to you. It doesn't matter what someone else says to you. If you have Jesus Christ, you have the greatest gift, the indescribable gift that anyone could ever have. That doesn't mean you're good enough. It just means you're loved enough. Down through the years, I used to watch Muhammad Ali. I know. Big mouth. But I like Muhammad Ali. Anybody else? Not so much as Stuart and I, the only ones that liked him. Not so much his mouth, because he had a big mouth, I realize that. But you need to realize something about Muhammad Ali. He could back it up. He was a good boxer. When he was in the ring, it was magic. You couldn't hear him talk. That was a good thing. So he showed his actions through his boxing. He was magic. And I remember, I'm so old, I remember when he fought Kenny Norton. I remember when he fought Joe Frazier. I remember when he fought Joe Frazier again. He won one, lost one. Did they fight a third time they was going to? I can't remember. He fought George Foreman, Rumble in the Jungle. Remember that? I remember all those things. I'm so old. But you know what? He thought he was it. He really did. Well, one thing you may not know about Muhammad Ali, he did not like to fly. And basically his trainer said, unless you fly, unless you go over to these other countries and box and fight in the Olympics and all that, you'll never be the champ of the world. So he got on his plane, and in one instance he said, the stewardess says, everybody do what? Buckle up your belts. Well, Muhammad Ali said, I don't need a seat belt. I'm Superman. And the stewardess said, well, Superman don't need an airplane, does he? Muhammad Ali buckled up his seatbelt. Friends, you're going to run into some people in your lifetime. They think they are it. They think the sun rises and sets over them. I want you to know they're wrong. There are some TV evangelists that think they're it. Not to mention any names. I'm not going to do that, but I have a whole slew of them I can mention right for you right now. They think that the church, their mega churches, could not survive if it weren't for them. Can we all say hogwash? They're not it. And it's not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. And I've seen him come and I've seen him go and I've seen him rise and I've seen him fall. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 5, 7 through 8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love in this. While we are still sinners, what? Christ died for us. I want you to do me a favor right now. As difficult as it is, I want you to do it. I want you to think back to the worst sin you've ever committed. I want you to get that sin in your mind. I want you to think about it. Even if it brings you to tears, I want you to think about it for a minute. Because here's the deal. As bad as that sin was, the Bible says that Christ still died for you, even in the midst of your sin. The worst thing you ever did. Friends, I want you to know that none of us deserve what Christ offers us in His indescribable gift. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, a verse that some of you have memorized, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can what? No one can boast." There are a lot of people out there in our world today that think they can make it to heaven on their own merits. They think that if they just do these good works, they go door to door and knocking on your doors trying to give you material, not to mention any names. They think that they can earn their way into heaven. They're wrong. Now, I'm not telling you to shut the door in their face. Don't do that. Invite them in, give them some sweet tea, set them down, give them a piece of coconut cream pie, and tell them this. Tell them this. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of you. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So stop bragging and boasting." Well, say it in a more Christian way than that. Friends, I want you to know nobody can earn their way to heaven. Nobody can get there because of their own merits. They can only get there because of the indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. Number two. Second thing I want you to remember this Christmas concerning Christ's indescribable gift. It's unending. It never ends. There isn't anything you can do to make Christ love you any more than He already does. Often I hear couples say, "I just don't love you anymore." And I always thought that'd be the hardest words to ever hear if you were ever married. Those words cut right to the bone. They're sharp. They're hurtful. But no matter how bad someone has hurt you, and no matter what words they have used against you, I want you to know you will never hear those words from Jesus Christ. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And His love never ends no matter what you do. Psalm 136, 1 through 2 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Sometime today, look at Psalm 136 and count how many times it says, "His love endures forever," and get back with me. Actually, it's 26 times. That's how much God loves you. Now, don't get me wrong. There is consequences of sin. Amen? Romans chapter 6. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? By no means we died to sin. How can we live it any longer? There is consequences to sin. You mess up, God's going to give you some punishment. He doesn't give you punishment because He hates you. He gives you punishment because He loves you. When my kids mess up, one of them did the other day. I'm not going to pick on her, Macy. She messed up. You'll see it tonight. You come to my house. There is a paddle on the top of my refrigerator. I grabbed the paddle, and Macy dropped the old frown. She knew she'd messed up. Did I spank her hard? How can you spank her hard? Did I spank her? Yes. I spanked her because she messed up. I didn't spank her because I hate her. I spanked her because I loved her. And I wanted her to learn from the mistake that she made so she won't do it again. And if you don't spank your kids and your grandkids, shame on you. Because the Bible very clearly says we should spank them. That "spare the rod, spoil the child" is in the form of a question mark, not in the form of a statement. It's not in your bulletins, but I want you to write this down. Hebrews 12, 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." If you spoil your children and your grandchildren, it's going to come back to haunt not only them, it's going to come back to haunt you. It really is. And God disciplines us whenever we need it. When we mess up, He disciplines us. maybe in this form or another form or however form He disciplines us. And sometimes we don't always realize that He's disciplined us, but He is, and He does it because He loves us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us basically closer to God. That's why He did it. And no matter how much you've messed up in your life today as I speak, I want you to know that Christ still loves you. I want you to know that He would still die for you if He was the only person on planet Earth. I want you to know that what He did for you is indescribable. Number three, finally, Christ's indescribable gift is eternal. I don't know about you, but whenever I buy a gift for somebody, I want it to last a long, long time, don't you? Don't you wish you could wear those clothes you used to wear? I can't wear them anymore. Matter of fact, I have to skim through my clothes just to find something I can wear. I don't know what's happening. They're shrinking in my closet. Something's going on in there. But you know what? I want something that lasts a long time. I guess you heard about the guy who bought his wife a diamond ring, quote unquote, for Christmas. A friend of his caught wind of it and he said, I thought that you were going to buy your wife a new four-wheel drive Jeep. He said, I was, but where am I going to find a fake four-wheel drive Jeep? Not in a dime store. Well, maybe diamonds don't last forever. At least some of them. But I want you to know something that does last forever. God's love for you. It lasts forever. When my son Zachary was small, Ching and I, we struggled trying to buy him something that he wouldn't tear up. Something that would last a long, long time. Man, we struggled with it for a long time. So you know what we bought him? Anybody want to guess? We bought him a John Deere tractor. It looks good forever and it never wears out. Amen, Tim? I don't know about that, but I want you to know that Christ's love for you never fades, never lessens, never becomes less. Christ's love for you is indescribable. And it lasts forever. And because of that great love, Jesus is right now, as I speak, preparing a place for you. Isn't that awesome? It's not something He's already done. It's something that He is doing right now. He tells His disciples in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house. I got to do the King James here, Jim. Are many mansions. Doesn't that sound better than rooms? Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and bring you to the place where I am. That where I am, you may be what? You may be also. I want you to know that Christ didn't finish on the cross. He's still preparing a place for us right now where we'll spend eternity together. Now, where exactly is that at? Nobody knows. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, I was caught up in the what heaven? Third heaven. We know there's three of them. We know that they're in heaven right now. We know there's another one. And Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Don't know for sure where it's at. But I do know one thing. It will be beautiful. It will be awesome. And the people that you're missing this holiday season that won't be sitting at your table or opening presents with you this holiday season, I want you to know they're better off than you are. I want you to know they're opening up the greatest gift. In the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus loved you so much that He not only died for you, but He wanted to prepare a place for you. Does that excite you? Does that get your motors moving? It does me. Because I don't know about you, I enjoy life, but you know what? Eventually, I want out of here. I want out of here, don't you? I want out. I want to go where He's preparing us a place. I don't know if you know it, but ever since 1997, HGTV has given away a dream home to some lucky family. And they don't just give away a dream home. They are beautiful homes, amen? They give them a car. They don't just give them a car, but they give them prizes and money. And since 1997, basically since she and I have been married, she keeps telling me, I'm going to win us a dream home. And I say the same thing every year. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you even still play that? Okay. I've been waiting since 1997 to win a dream home for my wife, and I just give up. 23 years in waiting. And that's how I remember my marriage, 1997 HGTV dream home. You're probably not going to get your dream home. But I tell you what you are going to get. You're going to get something greater than a dream home. Friends, I want you to know today that there is a lot of false hopes in our world today. But one thing that will never be false, the love that Christ has for you. And if you find yourself this Christmas holiday season down on your luck, feeling a bit depressed, I can assure you that Jesus Christ loves you just as much today as He did yesterday or any days in the past. His love for you is indescribable. When you're witnessing to somebody in 2021 as it rolls around, what a great word to use. God loved you so much He died for you. His love for you is indescribable. It's a good witness tool. Will you say John 3:16 with me this morning? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As we come to our time of invitation, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I can't think of a better day than to get baptized on Christmas. Matter of fact, if I had to do it again, I might have waited a couple of months just so I could say, I got baptized on Christmas. It's the greatest gift you'll ever get. And no one can take it away from you. No one can say it isn't true. It is. It's a love that will last forever. How long is forever? It's a long time. Someone took a rope one time and they extended it across the stage and he said, let me describe how long eternity is. I said, no. It's a lot longer than that. No rope can describe how long eternity is, and there's nothing else that can describe how much Jesus Christ loved you enough to reach out His hands and die on a cruel cross over 2,000 years ago. His sacrifice, His love for you is indescribable. I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas this year. But the greatest gift that you can ever give yourself is Christ. Not only the child, but the one that died for you. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you've become, His sacrifice is still real. And you can have it today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for that indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. Lord, I can stand up here all day and try to describe it. I can't get it. I can say awesome. I can say excellent. I can say whatever I want, but I can't touch it. I can't understand. I can't describe the level of love that Christ had for all of us in this room and listening online, Lord. I can't describe it. It's indescribable. Lord, I thank You for Paul's words. It's only coined one time here in the Scriptures, but it's indescribable. Lord, as we go down the highways and byways, spreading the good news of Jesus, help us to remember that what He did for us, not just this Christmas, but every day of our life, is completely indescribable. It's in His name we pray. Amen.